War not only injures and destroys bodies, it also damages minds.
Now, a reflection by Roger Robinson on frontline combat in Suez, 1956.
The open air, body prepared to face the thousands of feet to hit the ground, to release the chute and release the weapon, while all around you, cries of the dying abound. To face the dirt, the blood, and the noise of fear. At 19, inwardly crying for mum and dad, outwardly sweating. As you face a 16-year-old Egyptian kid with trembling fingers in war, just lad against lad. Isn't that always war? Who cares for those who fight and die despite the annual marches with medals and pompous speech? Who remembers Suez? Who remembers the likes of us who fought at 10 to 19 years on airport, street and beach? Some do remember in dreams, in sweat-soaked nights, and wonder even now why any war is worth the blood spilled, and tender youth becomes hardened, and yet has those tears, the night's darkened, comforting hood. Who am I, now old and seamed? No medal for Suez, no remembrance each year of that distant battle, when boys died without their mother's arms. Who cares? The politicians didn't. For them and the world, no tear. Other effects of war are shown in Deborah Lovin's poem Iraq in St. Pancras, 2004.
In the shabby Art Deco council flats behind King's Cross, a mother is weeping goodbye to her soldier son. He's a small, wiry, sun-reading lad with a cheery face who's going to a place called Basra to keep the peace. He never, for one single moment, ever kept at home. Upstairs, half watching the satellite TV, another mother cries by the phone from news of her blown apart Iraqi kin.
It's a funny old world, say the arthritic old women, waddling with their dogs around the old St. Pancras graveyard. Did you see the news? There's trouble everywhere. I can't see an end to it myself.
It's nightfall now, and there's a thin, half-hearted rain falling through the soft light on the ancient church and faded gravestones. Among the sleeping dead, where once Shelley courted Mary, lie the hard-faced men who ran the workhouse, the last survivor of the Black Hole of Calcutta, and all the kith and kindred of Cecil Rhodes.
For man born of woman has no time at all on earth, and unspeakable grief is only a politician away.
In the distance, violent neon lights blaze from the empty station. The tannoy crackles out something no one can hear about the last Sheffield train. And too fast out of the underpass, the 46 bus swerves and stops. Two young women get out. The first, bare-bellied with silver gypsy earrings. The second, burkered, with a pile of books. Stranger neighbours. They are each going home to their frightened mothers in the shabby Art Deco council flats.
"Wonder if it'll rain tomorrow," say the arthritic old women to Dublin Pat as he locks the graveyard gate.
"To be sure it will," he says, cycling off. "Isn't it England we're in, to be sure?"
Metropolitan Borough of St Pancras, page 1426, lists 26 names of those who died, including
Curry Albert George, aged 2, son of Albert S. Curry and of Ivy Lillian Curry, 4th of October 1940, at 215 Stanhope Street. Curry Donald Edwin, aged 7 months, at 215 Stanhope Street. Curry Edward Arthur, aged 7, at 215 Stanhope Street. Curry Ivy Lillian, aged 33, at 215 Stanhope Street. Curry Ronald Stephen, aged 8, at 215 Stanhope Street.
In 1940, Italy entered the Second World War on the German side.
June the 10th, 1940.
Combattenti di terra, di mare, dell'aria.
Soldiers, sailors and airmen.
Camicie nere della rivoluzione.
Black shirts of the revolution and of the fascist legions, men and women of Italy, of the Empire, and of the Kingdom of Albania, hear me.
Un'ora segnata dal destino, batte
destiny is striking the hour in the heavens of our fatherland, the hour
delle decisioni irrevocabili.
Of irreversible decisions. People of Italy, rush to arms
e dimostra
and show
la tua tenacia,
your determination,
il tuo coraggio,
your strength of will,
il tuo valore,
and your courage.
The immediate result of this speech was that all the men aged between 17 and 70, who were some of the many Italians who had made their homes here in Britain, often decades before, were interned. Many were transported to the Isle of Man, Australia and Canada, both to be out of the way and for their own safety. A plaque in the Italian church of St. Peter in Clerkenwell records the fate of those who were sailing to Canada on the cruise liner Arundora Star. The ship was attacked and sunk by a German submarine, with the loss of over 700 lives, of whom 446 were Italians.
Roll of Honour for the Metropolitan Borough of St Pancras. Page 1422 lists 28 names of those who died, including
Bruno Antoinetta, age 60, Italian national, of 16 Whitfield Street. Daughter of Bartolomeo and Antoinetta Galizia, of Sant'Ambrogio di Torino, Italy. Widow of Giuseppe Bruno, 19th of June, 1944, at 16 Whitfield Street. Bruno Maria, age 27, Italian national, of 16 Whitfield Street. Daughter of Valentino and Giuseppina Raimondo, of Sant'Ambrogio di Torino, Italy. Wife of Guerino Peter Bruno, 19th of June, 1944, at 16 Whitfield Street.
Some memories of Mrs. Maria Ingham, née Muscara, who as a girl lived in Sicily and moved to the United States after the war and married an American.
My most sad memory is linked to the invasion of Sicily by the Americans. They bombed the bridges to hinder the German retreat and to make easier the occupation of German military installations. My grandmother, my Aunt Teresa, my mother and I were at the village of Colla, as we normally were, to buy provisions. We were walking near a bridge when suddenly we heard the roar of war planes. Some people immediately moved away from the bridge, while my family took shelter underneath it. You'd think that was a big mistake. True, it was the bridge which the Americans wished to destroy, and we, instead of getting ourselves away from the danger, put ourselves at risk of being hit by the bombs. But it seems that fate was on our side. The bombs missed the bridge and exploded instead just where the other people had taken refuge. In that terrible moment, their sad destiny arrived, and they were killed. I don't know who those poor victims were, but I have never forgotten them.
Sul mare luccica, la struzza d'otto, sa fine s'estende, prospero il vento.
Mrs. Ingham's account also gives a graphic description of a personality damaged by war experiences.
For over 2 years after the armistice of 1943, my mother had no news of her husband, Antonino Muscara, an Italian soldier posted to the Greek Peloponnese. One day in October 1945, my father suddenly reappeared in Librizzi, where we were living. He said he had been a prisoner of war in a prison camp in Germany, where he had been forced to make bombs. After the first few days, he never spoke again about his war experiences, except for one occasion before he died. With his return began a cavalry of suffering, humiliation, and anguish for me and my family. My father's actions were odd, unpredictable, explosive, and without any explanation. His first act was to shave off my hair and send me to school with my head as hairless as a plucked chicken.
Imagine the mockery of my schoolmates and the shame I felt. A few days later, he prepared a lovely plate of pasta, but he didn't serve it because he wanted us to eat it with the cooking water, which had gone cold. On another day, he prepared a blancmange with slices of burnt bacon fat. I could not eat that muck, which made me vomit, and I preferred to undergo the inevitable thrashings. With the passing of time, his insanity became worse, and the sufferings he inflicted on his wife and children caused irreparable damage. At the same time, he suffered a huge anguish. He wept, he was full of remorse, and felt in despair.
Those who had fought in the First World War usually said, if they could bring themselves to talk about it at all, that it was by far the most significant event of their lives. Few were left unscarred by its memories.
Have you forgotten yet?
For the world's events have rumbled on since those gag days, like traffic checked while at the crossing of city ways. And the haunted gap your mind has filled with thoughts that flow like clouds in the lit heaven of life, and you're a man reprieved to go, taking your peaceful share of time with joy to spare.
Have you forgotten yet?
Have you forgotten yet?
Have you forgotten yet?
Have you forgotten yet?
Look down and swear by the stain of the war that you'll never forget.
But the past is just the same, and war's a bloody game.
Do you remember the dark months you held the sector at Mamet's? The nights you watched and wired and dug and piled sandbags on parapets? Do you remember the rats and the stench of corpses rotting in front of the frontline trench? And dawn coming, dirty white and chill with a hopeless rain, do you ever stop and ask, is it all going to happen again? Do you remember that hour of din before the attack, and the anger, the blind compassion that seized and shook you then, as you peered at the doomed and haggard faces of your men? Do you remember the stretcher cases lurching back with dying eyes and lolling heads, those ashen grey masks of the lads who once were keen and kind and gay?
Have you forgotten yet?
Look up and swear by the green of the spring that you'll never forget.